Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, September 4th, the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. There's been a theme in all of my programs the last week or so that I've been asking us to really take a very strong look at whether we're living our lives in light of eternity or not. Are we so consumed by this world? And I know how easy that is. That's why we have to put very clear goals in our minds so that we begin to think with Christ, so that we begin to look at this life, as I refer to a saint who would always say before a particular event or task, what is this in light of eternity? Whatever way helps you, but to say, my life here on this earth is not just for here. No matter what I'm doing this day, why I'm living this life is in order that I might live for all eternity and that I might be a source of blessing for many others to also be drawn to Christ. Am I living my life out of that reality, or am I totally consumed by this world and the things that I have to do? You may have to work very hard on the things you're doing right here and now. I'm not saying that you go away and live in a, I don't know, some kind of a cave. I'm not saying that. But it's orientation. It's your prayer life. It's the orientation of your life that says, I'm not just here for this life. I'm going to live forever. And I want to live this portion of my life here in such a way that I will live forever. May God be praised today in all my thoughts and words and actions. Pray that way. Think that way. Ask yourself the question, as that saint did, what is this in light of eternity? What is this event? What is this set of circumstances? What is this challenge? What is this trial that I'm facing right now? What is it in light of eternity? How does God want to use it? Even if difficult, how does God want to use it to benefit my eternal life? So today, for this Sunday, the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, we take a look at the first reading from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 13 to 18. Who can know God's counsel? Who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are hidden, who can search them out? So this is the wrestling. We're so consumed by this world that we don't have time or vision to think of eternal things. Whoever knew your counsel except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high, and thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. It is, brothers and sisters, the gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who can lead us and guide us if we become sensitive to his voice. That's what we need to do, is become attentive and sensitive. And all the things I've described over the last 2 weeks are the things you focus on. The Eucharist, his word, extending mercy, meeting the needs of the poor, being a true disciple, doing what God wants you to do, a good mother, a good father, a good friend, a good counselor, a good encourager. Do we help people to get out of the depths of difficulty into which we all fall at one time or another? Are we there to help people up and out and show them the way to the kingdom? What are we doing with our lives? Psalm 90 says, in every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. And that's true. Those who turn to the Lord, mount up as with the wings of eagles. They run, they don't walk. They run and they don't grow tired, says the Psalms. It's because they have their eyes fixed on the eternal life, fixed on the prize. Doesn't mean that you don't care about this earth. It means that you help people through their earthly difficulties to get their attention, their sight fixed on eternity, on Jesus. You're going to live forever. Every one of us is going to live forever. Where do we want to live? How do we want to live? This life is only the beginning. Who can know God's counsel? Who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, the earthen shelter weighs down the mind that has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth, and what is within our grasp we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Or whoever knew your counsel except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high. There it is. That's who helps us. Do you spend time daily in prayer? Is the voice, the counsel, the wisdom, the inspiration of God, are you becoming familiar with it? And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. I'm reading this again because I want you to get the word into your soul. In every age, you have been our refuge, Lord. In every age, God has helped us. Why would he not help us now? In the reading from the letter of Paul to Philemon, verses 9 to 10 and 12 to 17. I, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on behalf of my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. Someone he's cared for. Someone he's ministered to and raised up. I should have liked to retain him for myself so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent so that the good you do might not be forced but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother. Beloved especially to me, but even more so to you, as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. Look at Paul's charity. How kind are we to others? And the gospel is the gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, those of you who are regular listeners understand this passage. Jesus is not saying hate in the sense of human hatred, bitterness, resentment, revenge, arrogance. All those words go with hate. That's not what he's speaking about. He's saying that we need to put him first. So it's a choice to put everything else in our lives in second place to our life with God himself. If anyone comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, is God first in your life and in all your relationships? Do you live out of his counsel and his commands in all your relationships? That's what he's talking about. He has to be first. You prefer him over all, no matter how close, no matter how much responsibility you have for them. You prefer him, because if you follow him, he then shows you how to provide for those you love better than you may have come up with yourself, I'm sure. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So whatever trials or burdens we're carrying, we need to carry them. We need to embrace them. Whoever does not carry his own cross, we have to embrace it. We had to put our arms around it and say, Lord, let this cross bring me closer to you. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, yeah, this one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish. What about you and I? What about us? This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish because we got sidetracked. We got so mired in this world that we forgot about God. We didn't put him first in our lives if we ever had. This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish. We have the resources, brothers and sisters, in Christ, only in him. Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Everything has to be in second place to God. Everything. Even those we hold most dear, the safest place for those we hold most dear is in second place to God, because God provides for us. Otherwise, we're trying to do it on our own, and you and I know we don't have the resources to care for those we love all through their lives by ourselves. Jesus is offering us, he's giving us a requirement, what's needed, that is to put him first. But he's also promising that he will do so much for us because he loves us. Is he first in your life? That's a key question. And if this weekend affords you even 5 minutes breath because you don't, that is breathing easily, because you don't have to go to work, would you take 5 minutes and ask yourself honestly before the Lord, who really is the highest priority? It may be yourself, if we're honest. Sometimes it's just ourselves. Where we want is God be in first place. Then we'll make the right choices. Then we'll make better decisions, because things will be in right order and we will be receiving wisdom that comes from on high. By inspiration, God can do that for us. So this whole last week, in some ways, has been about putting God in his rightful place. Brothers and sisters, he is the source of all that is good. Apart from him, you can do nothing. You can accomplish nothing good apart from him. Good that will not only last for now, but it will last for all eternity. That's the good you're seeking. The good of those you love that will last not only for time, but for all eternity. May God abundantly bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.